So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
LouisvillePolitics.com. And I tell you, the night is already starting off very, very interesting. When we sign on to the show a few minutes early each and every night, go through all the checks and balances, all that good stuff, make sure everything's working the way it's supposed to. And lo and behold, I started doing a search on one of our topics tonight, Mr. Pierce Morgan. And all of a sudden, I guess the Google bots and Santa Claus got me because they started destroying the show. I had to re-sign in about three times before I could finally maintain a connection. Our good friend Dale the Truth, who will be joining us momentarily, has had the same problem. So it's not just a one area situation or anything. It's fascinating because it looks like they're just because we think they're out to get us doesn't mean they're not. So it's kind of funny, but Dale the Truth is back with us now. How are you, sir?
I'm okay, my friend. I don't believe in coincidences anymore. I know people think that we're just making up conspiracy theories, but no problems with the internet at all until the last couple of hours. Then the shit hit the fan.
Well, it's interesting because whenever I get onto certain topics, especially real controversial topics, is the only time that I have ever had a problem with my internet connection. And it's always going into the show when I start doing research or bringing up topics right before the show starts. And it's the same thing with you. We started talking about this Pierce Morgan deal, and bam, you lost connection. So people can make of it what they want to. I don't believe in coincidences. Coincidence is something that happens on a random event, but this seems to be a regular pattern. So, for me, the randomness being out of the equation. But it is kind of funny. It is kind of interesting. That a couple of little old nobodies could probably get that kind of attention, which is great for me. And by the way, these couple of little nobodies have thousands of people around the world, including our soldiers overseas, that listen to this show and follow LouisvillePolitics.com. So maybe that's what they're worried about. They don't like the truth.
I guess not. I mean, we got a loyal following. Like you said, the numbers are great. And you look at the Thursday night show, the numbers are great. And I keep telling people, I'm not being cynical when I say it. I always say I'll be here on Thursday nights if if the internet connection doesn't knock me off the grid because they don't like what we're talking about, that is for certain.
Oh, I know. It's going to be kind of funny, but we'll see what happens. In the meantime,
yep.
So many things going on. The story we really want to get into tonight is gun control, Piers Morgan, and things like that. But there's a couple of things I want to put out because that's going to take the majority of the show.
Yep.
We're also going to get into the big gaping hole in the Sandy Hook reporting and things like that. But a couple of interesting stories of note today. Here in Louisville, now they're trying to go ahead and set the stage to bring the Sacramento Kings NBA team here to Louisville. And that's because Virginia Beach, Virginia, gave up their pursuit of the NBA Sacramento Kings earlier today because they couldn't reach a consensus on building a new arena. So now the talk is already starting for this team to come to Louisville. And, you know, as we have talked about ad nauseum on this show, we've done many shows on why we don't need an NBA team in Louisville, Kentucky, what a drain they are on local taxes and everything else. But just bring people aware that that story is going to be going on for a while, so get ready to gear up again with that. Another thing going on I think is very, very interesting. Social Security checks. Yes, we continue talking about how we need to protect our old people and our children. Well, lo and behold, as of March the 1st, Social Security checks will no longer be coming via mail. They are eliminating paper checks through the U.S. Post Office. Your Social Security check is no longer going to be there. You're going to be required to either have direct deposit so they can electronically add it, or they're going to give you a prepaid direct express card, which I guess is something like a prepaid Visa or MasterCard. It's really interesting to me on this story, Dale, because, you know, who are the biggest beneficiaries of Social Security? Our elderly. They didn't really come up at a time when all this electronic stuff was going on. Most of the people in their, you know, in their late 60s, early 70s and beyond that are on Social Security really don't know a whole hell of a lot about this electronic stuff, and they don't trust it.
No, yeah, that's what I was going to say. They don't trust it, and the problem is they're now between a rock and a hard place because they don't trust it, and if you ask them if they would choose that, they would never make that conscious choice. But what are they going to do? They're also of a generation that they're not going to just go out and rebel against and refuse to do it because what happens if they do? Then they don't get that money. And this whole Ponzi scheme, and I will call Social Security a Ponzi scheme because that is a Ponzi scheme. When you had several people putting in for every one person getting it out now. It didn't used to be that way, but it is now, so that's the definition of a Ponzi scheme. And they're stuck. They're stuck in a rock and a hard place because they can't refuse it, so they're at the mercy of the cardholders and to follow them and track them electronically.
Well, it's really interesting to me, too, because the articles that I'm looking at is right from the Huffington Post. I know nobody likes that source, but sometimes they do get things out there okay. But you know, but apparently there's about 5 million checks that are mailed each month, according to the Treasury. And it costs the Treasury about $4.6 million per month. Now, I'm doing the math here. That means it costs an almost a dollar to sit here and send out roughly 92 cents per check to print a check and mail it out. Now, you know, I've got a big problem with the cost of that anyway. I can't imagine why it would cost 92 cents per check to do that. But it is government, so, you know, that would add a bunch there. But it's actually going to save about $1 billion over 10 years. But what's really interesting here is Treasury official Walt Henderson talked to CNN about this and has said that they're not going to interrupt the payment, that, you know, if they haven't signed up for everything by March the 1st, they're going to continue to get a paper check for a little time, you know. But he goes on to say that we won't interrupt their payment, but we will be communicating with them in a more personal, direct way. Now, does that mean we're going to go out beating up 70-year-olds and breaking their arms and legs if they don't go ahead and take a prepaid debit card?
Well, yeah, already got police officers beating up people in the street for no reason, so why not?
Well, I don't put that beyond them. I mean, really, truthfully, it's very fascinating to me that you would use language like that. In these days and times where everybody is distrustful of government, distrustful.
I mean, you remember a time, Ed, if you go back to when I started working, and now it's been 21 years ago when I started working where, and I say working meaning where the government would steal some of my labor without working for themselves.
Right.
If you remember back in those days, most people still got a paper check, and it was such a big deal when people started doing direct deposit. It was still kind of taboo, but they kind of got people kind of convinced and hoodwinked and brainwashed and thinking you got to put it in the bank. I mean, how many employers even give out paper checks anymore? I bet there aren't any.
Oh, well, actually, there are a few.
Are there?
You know, yeah, mostly.
I know where I've been a long time. I mean, I can only imagine It would
well,
look
I'll
at
tell
you like you were from another planet if you went into payroll and asked for that.
Oh, I know. And, you know, they're very hesitant. They don't like to do paper checks anymore. They do like to do everything electronically. I don't like electronically.
No. Nope.
You know, for me personally, I want to see that paycheck in my hand.
But
I want to go cash that paycheck.
About, yeah, but it's convenience because think about it, people always go to what's more convenient, not what makes more personal liberty sense, because what if you leave the employer, or what if you're off the day the paychecks come in, or it's like the holidays that we just went through, it's a holiday weekend. So people hesitantly went along with it because they thought, oh, well, it's convenient. I won't have to come to work to get the check. And,
right.
and you don't, you'd be surprised how many people, they're so financially irresponsible, the ones I know just from the business place, well, they're dependent on hoping that bank has their check in at midnight so they can write these checks out because they're exactly where the government wants them to be at, and that is being dependent on every little step the government makes, them being dependent on it, just like our seniors are with Social Security.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find it funny, too, because when direct deposit, when all this direct deposit stuff first started coming out,
yeah.
you know, it was always sold as an advantage. So if you normally got paid on Friday,
right.
your direct deposit would actually hit the check a day early and hit Thursday.
Right.
And now we're finding out that no longer is the case
yeah.
in most of these people. Now they're keeping that money for the extra day just like they were before. And there's a big reason for that. When you take somebody like your big employers, like a Ford Motor Company, General Motors, GE, whoever, you know, you're putting out millions of dollars each week in payroll. For every extra day that money sits in the bank and isn't distributed, that's interest income.
Yeah.
They make money on that. So, you know, they're going to hold on to that as long as they can. You know, typically with a paper check, you know, you would take your paper check to the bank and cash it or whatever, but it would take a couple of days before it hit their bank to clear out of the business account, so they got two extra days of interest. So I haven't yet figured out why they think this is such a great deal, but I certainly don't trust electronic because,
yeah.
you know, you get into a situation where if the bank wants to cut this off, the feds can say, hey, cut this check, you know, cut this account off for whatever reason, as we just found with a gun owner or a gun shop.
Yeah.
I believe it was up in Michigan. I can't remember exactly where. But this guy's sales went up 500%.
Yep.
And, you know, because he was making deposits that were five times more than what he normally did, Bank of America put a hold on his account.
Yep.
Wouldn't let him access his own damn money.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I said about letting the bank control it. It's so convenient. But if you really think about it, I mean, there was a time they also tried to advertise this. If you go back to the 80s with the SNL scandals, the savings and loan scandals, and then you got into the 90s, These accounts don't pay anything. I'm sure you remember, Ed, when that was another selling point they had for putting your money in the bank because they pay you all this interest. And we know they're already using our money, plus borrowing money out of thin air, and they're not paying any interest. So what is the benefit of having your money in the bank anymore?
Well, and that's exactly it. And, you know, with the whole SNL scandal, the biggest thing that came out of the scandal was what really caused them to fail was when Congress got caught owing thousands and thousands of dollars. They were writing bad checks out of accounts with the SNL, and the SNL was covering all these checks and never taking any action against the congressman at all. If me or you would have done that out of our personal checking account like they did out of the SNL account, we'd have been in jail.
Hey, you'd be in jail. Yeah. You wouldn't be in their little country club jails. You'd be in pound ass when you bend over jail.
You bet your butt, and I've been there for one night. Don't ever want to do that again, but
Hell.
That's a possibility at the end of this month. But, you know, so we've got to look at all of that, and, you know, that's a big thing. So I don't like the electronic deal.
Nope.
I can't believe they're picking on the older people like that.
Oh, I agree.
You know, they're going after Social Security. Well, you know, I agree with you there. I guess it ain't too hard to, figure out.
It's deplorable, but it's not unpredictable. We can't say we don't expect it. It's one of those things where it doesn't surprise me, but it still should anger people. But because
right.
they're, like, surprised by it, they also don't get angry about it anymore.
Well, I agree with you. And then we've got another story going out nobody's paying attention to out of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, I call it the Obama curse. But it seems like everything Obama touches turns to garbage. Case in point, North Carolina Furniture Company. Obama last year had went out praising these people as this great U.S. job creator. This great U.S. job creator was a good example of what he's been able to accomplish. You know, these guys are able to get ahead. Less than a year later, as of last Friday, they shut down. You know, so you know, we've got to start looking at this. You know, this was one of these big success stories thanks to Obamanomics. You know, and in less than a year, they went out of business. So, you know, we've got to start really paying attention to what's going on there as well. You know, I want to take a quick break because when we get back, we're going to switch gears, folks. We're going to get into really, truly, the meat and potatoes of what we do here. We're going to talk about the Pierce Morgan. We're going to get into gun control. We're going to talk about antidepressants. Anything and everything you want to know about that's wrong, we're going to explain it to you, and you're going to find that out in just a minute. We'll be right back on the Ed Spreacher Show right here on the EVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound.
Don Henley, Dirty Laundry for you. I tell you what, you know, that's exactly what we get. That's what we get from mainstream media is all this dirty laundry. We got that bubble-headed bleach blonde and all the other people on there telling us the world is groovy when we know they're lying. Lying through their teeth, because that's what mainstream media does the best.
Yep.
They lie through their teeth and continue with the liberal onslaught on actual true American beliefs and value system. We know better than what they're selling us. But yet, most people continue to turn their head and let it go. Case in point, let's get right to it, Dale. Pierce Morgan.
Yep.
You know, what do you say about this guy? Pierce Morgan has been one of the biggest vocal critics, or one of the biggest vocal supporters, I should say, of gun control in the United States. Here we have a British citizen, not a U.S. citizen, who fled his own homeland because he's a criminal in many people's eyes. Who fled his own homeland to come here in many people's eyes because he's a criminal, and now he wants to challenge our Bill of Rights, our Second Amendment, because he fled his own country and he thinks he's got the right to. Now, as we know, Alex Jones had decided to start a petition to deport Pierce Morgan. Now, I don't think that Alex actually intended this to actually deport Pierce Morgan, but he wanted to make a statement, and I believe he explained that the other night. Well, I understand. But he tried to explain that the other night when he was on Pierce Morgan's show on CNN that practically nobody watches. I watched the video today, and I tell you, I thought Alex Jones's point was 100% on track, but I thought the delivery was majorly flawed.
Yeah, and I know you told me that off the air, and the thing about it is, I for better or worse, I've seen a few clips of this idiot Pierce Morgan. We'll start calling him by his nickname, Penis Morgan. So I watched these videos.
I thought that was Penis More Cum. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I've watched these videos before of Penis Morgan when he's interviewed Larry Pratt and other people, and Penis doesn't give him a chance to get a word in edgewise. So I understand why Alex did what he did. It was rare, you know, for people who aren't used to seeing that. It was not rare for Alex because that's his kind of his form. But I was very glad that he got out a lot of the same stuff on the airwaves that he talks about on his show daily, that I talk on my show about, that people don't hear about in the mainstream press. We know he wasn't going to change their minds of the few hundred or thousand people who actually are loyal fans of Penis Morgan, but maybe people would listen to what Alex said, and they DVR'd it like I did. They'd go back and they would say, "What is he talking about? What does he mean about the bankers running everything? What does he mean about Penis Morgan being kicked out of England and being run off because of wiretapping scandals?" Maybe they'll look it up. So I understand a lot of people didn't like the delivery, but it was just good to get that out in the mainstream.
Well, I totally agree that it was good to get it out in the mainstream. And the thing with me was I would have really enjoyed a rational discussion between the two, and I'll tell you why. Because Jesse Ventura was on Piers Morgan not too long ago. And, you know, mm-hmm. Jesse Ventura doesn't play that in-your-face, rapidly aggressive thing like Alex does.
No.
Right. You know, but Jesse will actually listen to you, but Jesse will give you a counterpoint that you cannot dispute. And that's what made that an interesting show. So Piers Morgan and Jesse Ventura were going back and forth, and Jesse Ventura made his point, and this was with the live audience at the time, by the way.
Yep.
This wasn't on his air to those two. And Jesse was able to make his point, and Piers was telling Jesse he was wrong, and Jesse just flat out told the audience, you know, "You guys listen to every point I'm making. Do you agree?" And the audience just erupted
right.
in applause. You know,
right. I think that's where Morgan learned a lesson. I mean, even complacent idiots or useful idiots or globalist fools, whatever you want to call them, Piers Morgan, I think that's where he learned a lesson. And I don't think that he was going to allow Alex Jones to have a dialogue. I mean, everything we're saying is purely speculation, I understand. But
sure.
Piers learned from the audience. So when he got around to him and Larry Pratt on, there was no audience the night he had Larry Pratt on telling Larry Pratt that he was a really stupid, dumb old man. And then also with Alex, the only audience he had that night were these gun violence victims that he had sitting in the front row that Alex called him out on. So I don't think, I'm like you, I would have liked to have heard a civil debate, but we weren't going to get it. We were either going to get what Alex got out before they literally kicked him off the show. He was supposed to have another segment, and Pierce's producer, as the story goes, as Alex portrayed it, I have no reason to doubt him, Pierce's producer came out crying, and she was all upset. It wasn't supposed to go like that. And they had Bloomberg's thugs outside hounding Alex down the street when he left the building. So, you know, if Alex hadn't got out what he did, it would have been the same thing. Pierce would have just cut off
his microphone. And let's look at the reality, too. And let's look at the reality, too. I mean, you know, Alex Jones truthfully had nothing to gain going on that show.
No.
I mean, Piers Morgan has some of the lowest ratings in CNN history.
Yep.
The reason they got rid of Larry King is because Larry King couldn't keep more than 630,000
right.
viewers, and Piers Morgan's numbers are drastically lower than Larry King.
Right.
So CNN made a bad move picking him up. And, of course, Alex Jones has got 2.5 times the listeners and readers and followers that Piers Morgan will ever have.
Oh,
so
far more than that, and the yeah. advertisers is what matters. Let's be honest. Television is nothing but advertisements
mm-hmm.
with a little bit of crap thrown in between to keep your attention between the advertisements. And that's the reason that Piers and his producers booked Alex, because they knew the ratings would go way up, and it was like the best ratings he's ever had. So that's why he allowed Alex to do the diatribe. But I'm just telling you, if Alex hadn't done that, it would have been the same thing that happened with Piers and Larry Pratt, which is Piers
right.
would have just cut them off and called them names and went to a commercial break.
Right. And what do we say? I mean, let's call a spade here, too. Piers Morgan does not exactly come with the greatest credentials for a media guy.
No.
You know, when he was in Britain as part of the
yep.
Rupert Murdoch media empire,
yep.
You know, he was involved in a wiretapping scandal
yep.
that has really brought Rupert Murdoch to some degree to his knees. Rupert Murdoch has actually lost a hell of a lot over that, because Piers Morgan was out doing illegal wiretaps of cell phones and things like that. And, of course, he denies it and everything else. However, you know, we do have testimony from the host of BBC's Newsnight that Jeremy Paxman, you know, he flat out told the whole world. Now, this guy's a host is there now, still today. He's still got his job. But, you know, he told the whole world that he went to lunch with Piers Morgan. And Piers Morgan was telling him how to illegally do this.
Well,
he was schooling him on this.
Yeah,
so
if you look at the history on Piers Morgan, people don't know this guy, like you said, was born over in England, and like his hero Barack Obama, he's gone by many different names. He was born Stefan Pugh O'Meara was his given name. Somehow he got Piers Morgan out of that. He started out working with a group that we've heard of called Lloyd's of London in all inside trading crap. And you go back 12 or 13 years, he was the subject of investigation when he had inside trading on computer stock Viglin. So right. he's been involved with all this crap, and Alex called him out about that on TV too. So that was not stuff that Piers Morgan and his producers wanted out there. They did not want to talk about how he got fired from the Daily Mirror and all the hoaxes that he was involved with. But it helped his ratings, like you said. It didn't have anything for Alex to gain by, but I think a lot of Piers's audience might have been awakened if they were willing to pay attention.
Sure, and that's exactly it. And, you know, of course, this guy Paxman wasn't the only one who had told people there. I mean, they had a Daily Mirror journalist, former Daily Mirror journalist now, Rupert Murdoch's publication, a Daily Mirror over in the UK, that told everybody that phone hacking was considered standard journalistic tool at this tabloid. So this whole thing was run by Piers Morgan. The wiretapping, the phone hacking, the wiretapping, all that stuff was Piers Morgan's baby. He left Britain because he could no longer do anything there because his credibility was gone. Comes over here, and they continue here in the States to try to make this guy a star. Why in the hell would CNN hire somebody with that kind of a background and expect anybody to take him serious when it comes to any journalistic integrity?
Well, this is the great divide, because it's just like many of the elected politicians. Is he a useful idiot? Or is he on the inside and he's just playing dumb? And I think it's more the latter, because, like I said, this guy started out at Lloyd's of London. This guy's involved in inside trade. This isn't just some reporter that was hired off the street.
Right.
And he has a history of bullying people. So I thought it was ironic that Alex Jones got to get in his face, because Alex says that there were people from Bloomberg's henchmen tracking him while he was in New York City. And Piers Morgan's got a history of that, too. If you look at what happened back in back in 96 or 97, he was involved with a game show host or a news quiz host where he sent people following this host around, like paparazzi, basically hounding him and hounding this guy, this host, and stalking him is the word I would call it. And he got caught out on that on the air. So this is what Piers Morgan does. He just doesn't do very well on TV with ratings. He's not a good entertainer. He's a good behind-the-scenes thug.
Right, exactly, and you know that's the whole thing. And so it was kind of interesting from that context. Since we're going down that road, it was kind of interesting from that context because Alex Jones, when he was confronting Piers Morgan on his show, Alex Jones flat out told him, "Bring a boxing ring in here and some gloves. I'm not going to back down from you."
Yeah, it was probably a little bit much. But I mean,
well, it was over the top, but he just thugged the thug.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just the fact that he sat there with him on CNN and he got to point in this thug's face and told him, "You are a henchman for the New World Order."
Oh, yeah, and I thought that was incredible. Now, again, I didn't like the way that Alex Jones was trying to deliver the message, because I don't think that it was the most effective way to get the message out. And I'll tell you why. For one thing, we talked about, you know, one of the things Alex Jones completely tried to bring up, but he never actually proved anything other than the fact he has a paper in his hand. He kept talking about the FBI statistics. Piers Morgan was trying to make the case that the UK only had 35 gun murders last year when we had 11,000. That was his case. But what he didn't try to, but what he couldn't prove, and Alex Jones actually let him off the hook on that, was Alex Jones brought up violent crimes. Violent crimes lead to murder. Since they took the guns away in the UK, violent crime has increased more than 300%. Yet here in the U.S., even with the 11,000 deaths from guns, and most of those, by the way, are suicide, not murders, but even with the 11,000 deaths from guns that we have in the United States, our crime rate has actually dropped 20%, almost 20% over the last decade. So
there are more gun owners. I mean, and again, like you said, Pierce wants to talk about gun deaths only. And when you confiscate the guns, they just have to go to a different weapon of choice. I mean, it doesn't mean that less people are dying, but he doesn't want to talk about that.
Well, that's exactly it. And see, that's the whole thing, because, you know, Alex Jones should have went forward with that and said, "Look, you're not killing them with guns." Now, he did bring up the knives, because now the British are trying to, you can't even buy a kitchen butter knife unless you're 21. You know, they're trying to outlaw knives and stuff too. What do they do next? Do they outlaw rocks? Do they outlaw airplanes? Do they outlaw cars? And Piers Morgan doesn't even want to entertain the idea that a car is a 2,000-pound missile that does a hell of a lot more damage than a bullet ever would do.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he doesn't even want to deal with that. So we've got to start looking at this. You know, and Alex Jones was right on target with that. But I tell you who is even more right than Alex Jones, And I want you to listen to this clip. This is from Alex Jones' show with Jesse Ventura just a couple of weeks ago. Check this out.
I mean, Governor, can government take care of us?
No. Well, they can if they lock us up. That's what people remember what Benjamin Franklin said. Those that will give up their liberty for security shall have and deserve neither. The only way government can protect you in this life is to imprison you, take away your freedoms, and put us under martial law. Now, and you, I know you said my quote at the beginning. I personally love my freedoms too much, and I'll put up with the fact that, yes, you know, bad things happen and horrible things. I don't wish them on anyone. I wish we could live in a world that bad things didn't happen, but unfortunately they do. But I still will not give up my freedom to somehow, it's like the cartoon I saw where it's the mother and the father and the two children sitting at the dinner table and they're all exclaiming at the same time, boy, I feel safe now. And then you look at the cartoon and they're all inside a barred cell.
Well, that's a quote from...
Now, we've got to think about that, Dale. Now, think about what he just said. I mean, you know, the government can only take care of you if they imprison you.
Yeah.
Now, what exactly is going on in this country today? We're fighting to take away our liberties. We're fighting to take away our freedoms. Are the guns going to be the one issue that people will unite and rail for to protect our individual liberties and freedoms? Because we have to ask that question. There has never been a revolution that didn't end up being an armed, violent revolution.
Right.
And, you know, as much as people talk about peaceful revolution, including this show, I don't advocate violence for anybody.
Right.
I certainly never will because I'm like,
yeah,
Jesse, it's a bad thing. But, you know, Jesse is absolutely right, though, because a government that's going to take everything away from you, that thinks they can provide everything for you, has effectively imprisoned you, have they not?
Well, sure they have. And I mentioned the quote right here on this show, I think, couple of weeks back, President Eisenhower said that. He said, if you want the most security and safety you can get, go to prison. You're fed, you're clothed, you're kept safe. Nobody's going to break in and harm you. No one's going to steal anything of yours. But you have no freedom. You have no liberty. So you got to choose. You want liberty or you want security? And we live in a country, thank goodness, we're not as bad as the United Kingdom, where it is a police state. But we live in a country that is heading towards Europe. They look to Europe to mirror their behavior, and they don't care about liberty. How many of these idiots out on the street, and I hate to say that, sound like we're better than them, but how many of these dumbasses don't know a thing about the Constitution, but they want to be safe and secure, and it's always for the children, unless you're avoiding them, that's okay. But once the child gets out of the womb, we gotta put all these restrictions on you for the children. We gotta have these car seats, because we're living in a nation of wusses who won't stand up and just, you know, how did people get to this point in time? How did people your age or and older live this long? Because according to them, you had all these dangers and no one was protecting you from. You should have all been dead by now.
Well, you know, and that's actually true. And I'll be honest with you, based on what's happened to me over the last few months, and the end of this month, I mean, I could realistically go to jail for a year for doing nothing more than tell an officer, sir, can I please have your name? They can literally put me in jail for a year for that. You know, but it's really interesting to me because I've come to the conclusion, you know, that I really truly don't fear being mugged or being randomly shot or being a victim of a violent crime based on racial means. I really don't fear that. I fear more the police state, the police, and our government than I do any individual I meet on the street. And that should be an alarming sign to anybody in America who feels that way, because that is not freedom.
It should be, and that's why it's worth talking about this idiot Piers Morgan. Normally I would say he's just going to get 15 minutes of fame and ignore him, but it's a serious matter. And I've been telling people for probably a decade or more to watch out for this globalism coming at them, and they all thought it was conspiracy theory. Some of the best friends that we know, some of the best people that even come on our shows, thought I was crazy because I was telling them about their government coming and taking what they have. But, again, go back 10 or 11 years. Remember when they were trying to warn you that guy over in a cave on the other side of the world with flies around his face in the press conferences, he was going to get you? That was the boogeyman? Remember, that was the reason we have the police state. That's the reason we have the Homeland Security. Sounds a lot like Fatherland Security. It sounds a lot like Germany, doesn't it? And that was the reason, because this man in a cave was going to get you. Remember that when they had everybody
scared?
How many people are still scared of the man in the cave across the world?
Well, you know, and that's exactly it, too, because that's what happens. They sell fear. They sell this fictional monster, and this is what they save you from. And it really becomes quite comical. I mean, I was watching a movie a while back, and, you know, pardon me, folks, but, you know, I'm married to a woman who likes these kind of things, so I got to kind of go with it from time to time. But, you know, the movie was Mirror, Mirror. And that came out with Julia Roberts, of course, playing the Wicked Queen and all this stuff. And anyway, it was kind of like a parody on Disney movies and the Seven Dwarfs, things like that. But in Mirror, Mirror, the queen had sent her servant out to collect more taxes from the people. The people were already broke, hungry, begging for food everywhere. And he was actually sent to this town to ask for more taxes. And when the comptroller, I guess, for lack of a better name for the guy who was collecting taxes in this town, you know, he says, you know, the people can't take anymore. Where's this money going? And he said, we're spending it to save you from the beast. But nobody had ever seen the fictional beast. So everybody was completely broke and going nuts because they were paying taxes after taxes after taxes to save them from this fictional beast. And, you know, even though it was a fictional movie, when you look at the paradigm and start realizing that, you know, there's a lot of truth in some of these movies that we take as supposed to be comedies. And I was listening to those lines, and I immediately lost that moment of insignificance or indifference to this damn movie. And I was like, there's a great message right there for the people. I should have picked up a sound clip, and I probably will later. But I thought it was a very interesting thing, because when is it that people continue to be scared of this invisible beast or this invisible monster in the cave, instead of standing up and saying, hey, you know what? We got to face that. We can't live in this fear anymore, because the fear is what's paralyzing us, not the monster.
Right, the fear, you know, you can go back to the socialist himself, Roosevelt, F.D. Roosevelt, the socialist Roosevelt. He mm-hmm. said we had nothing to fear but fear itself, and he was on target. And like I've said, there's no liberty. You have security. Hell, we treat the elderly far worse than we do in prison. Maybe we should swap them out. Maybe we should put criminals in nursing homes and the elderly in prisons, because then the elderly might get better treatment than the prisoners then.
Hmm. Possibility. And then we've also got to look at a few other things, too. I mean, let's look at the reality. I mean, you know, we have a double standard in this country. We don't want guns or anything else in this country, but as we know, we export more than 50% of the world's guns from right here in the United States. So we are exporting guns to other countries to do exactly what we're telling our people not to do. We are, you know, funding these wars around the country and these uprisings around the country, you know, that we're not allowing here. People can't be free anything here. We continue talking about freedom around the world, but we're not really interested in that. It doesn't appear that we're interested in freedom around the world. It appears that we're interested in control, and that's what really makes things kind of scary. And I tell you something here, too. If you need further proof of that, you know, there's another story out. It's on foreign aid, and you can go to CNS News for this one. But if you think we care about our national security versus world security, think again. Under President Obama, foreign aid has increased over 80%. We spend 76% more of our money on foreign aid than we do on border security.
Right.
Now think about that, folks. Think about that. That is an alarming trend.
Well, we are on both sides of every military conflict. That's what the military-industrial complex is about. They're like a bookie. They're trying to get the same amount of action on both sides so they can't lose.
Because exactly.
So they got to buy the bullets from somewhere. They got to buy the tanks and the planes and the B-1 right. bombers from somebody. So as long as you have these big companies, these big multiplex companies that do nothing but build military weapons, they're always going to be in business, and they always win. As long as there's a military conflict going on, they're mm-hmm. going to win because they arm both sides of the conflict. And then we look at our own budget arms both sides of all conflicts. And when you start to hear somebody who maybe has a little bit of common sense, like a Rand Paul or a Thomas Massey or somebody, talk about how we should stop funding all these people, oh, well, you're anti-Semitic because you don't want to fund Israel. I'm like, what? I mean, we don't want to fund either side. Let them fight their own battles. You get in a lot of trouble when you say this with the neocons, but I'm pro-American. I'm not pro-Israel. I'm pro-American. I'm more worried about what goes on our borders than their borders.
Well, and I'm total agreement with that. I mean, that's the whole thing. And even Jesse Ventura continues pointing out, you know, bring the soldiers home, let them take care of our borders. We're spending way too much money. And he's absolutely right in that. You know, now, Jesse Ventura is one of those figures that you could call controversial as well, depending on which side you want to look at. But the reality is that we're spending more money on foreign aid than we are protecting our borders here in the U.S. You know, if you take the terrorism alone, and I hate to come back to this because I think it's so overused, it's unreal. But let's go back to 9/11. That was probably the worst terror strike in American history. It was. There's no doubt about that. But you consider that one terror strike took out 3,000 people. And then you go to the Brits and see how many car bombings they deal with every year. See how many people are killed through terror attacks every year. See how many people are killed through these violent crimes, even though they're not using a gun. You know, a bomb is the same weapon. You know, you go to James Holmes. They just found out and released statements today from the James Holmes court case that's going on in Aurora, Colorado. And you go to James Holmes and you look at what he had, bombs and everything else, it would have literally leveled a city block that he had set his apartment up to do before he went to the movie theater. So, you know, there are all kinds of ways to kill people, and guns aren't what's going to cause that. For you guys listening in the queue, make sure you hit that number 1 to get heard on air. We've actually got one right now. For guests who want to listen in, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334 are the numbers. And you can also talk to us in our live chat right now. Let's go to the phones. 215 number, what can we do for you?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, sir? What can we do for you?
Yeah, I just want to make a comment on which I was talking about.
I'm sorry? What comment do you have?
I just wanted to enter the conversation. I see that was I was talking about foreign policy.
Uh-huh.
And I think we should be pro Israel as American citizens.
I personally agree with that assessment, and I think ultimately what's going on with the Obama administration is they're actually anti-Israel. I think Israel is probably the most stabilizing force we have in the Middle East, and they deserve our support. Now, do I think that we need to sell everything else out for Israel? Israel has went on record as saying that they can defend themselves, that they already have democracy, and there's nothing they need from us. And I think ultimately that has actually hurt them in public opinion when Mubarak goes on record saying something like that. And I think that's what's led the way for this anti-Israel sentiment. Would you agree, or have you heard those statements?
Yeah, I didn't hear those statements like you said, but I think that they have a sufficient military to defend themselves. Obviously, we look at what's going on in the Gaza Strip, so it seems. But I think that we as Americans, and you know, especially after World War II, we're not going to sit back and let something brew up and then become another World War II. So I think that's why you have. You know, they call it, policing the world. I think that's why they try to prevent certain things from happening. They'll nip it in the bud, the developing stages.
But
so
do you think...
Never,
but let me
the
ask you this.
The only problem with the argument, caller, is we have many World War IIIs, as you want to call them, going around the world every day, and we pick and choose which battles we want to invest in. We have a U.S. government that looks at battles like stockbrokers look at... hedge funds. They pick which one do they want to fund, which ones they not want to fund, because there are civil wars and battles like this around the world every day, but we don't get involved in them all.
My question...
You know, also, you know, you got to understand, too, I mean, we have a limited army. I mean, you expect one country to be able to take care of all the problems going on in every country, in every section of the world? I mean,
well, let me ask you this, caller. I mean, let me ask you this. Do you think that our foreign policy is working to aid American security, or do you think that our foreign policy is wrong?
I think it needs to be a reassessment of you know, certain things in the foreign policy. But I think that you got to understand that nobody never did this before. You know, it's easy, you know, us to sit back and look at, you know, this whole thing and say, well, you're not doing this right. Understand, this is something, it's like, you know, you're taking on a responsibility of trying to prevent these tyrannical governments from becoming another Hitler. So it's like, you know,
let me ask
nobody,
you this. Do you think
there was no school to teach us how to do this?
But let me ask you this, though. You know, you're right. We don't want another Hitler. And I totally agree with that assessment 100%. But I have to sit here and look at things realistically, though. When you look at Iraq, when you look at Afghanistan, you know, when you look at all of these different foreign situations that we continue putting ourselves into, none of these places is capable of producing a Hitler. That's just the truth of it. They're not big enough on any scale to possibly do that. But what has happened is every one of these people, all right, are capable of terrorism. Let's look at Al-Qaeda and a few other things. And I guess the point I'm trying to get at is this. In order to promote peace, you have to be a peace ambassador. We have a president who got the Nobel Peace Prize, but prides himself on the number of drone attacks, the unmanned drone attacks, and the people that they kill, who sits here and sheds what I consider to be a fake tear. You can believe what you want to on that. A fake tear over 26-year-olds being killed in Connecticut, but doesn't care one bit about the hundreds and thousands that have been killed by his drone attacks because they're not in the USA. So, you know, as an ambassador of goodwill or as an ambassador that wants to promote peace, does this hurt our reputation around the world or does it enhance us? You know, we are not, it's not our responsibility, in my opinion, to police the world and hold them accountable to what they do with their own country. But I don't see us in a position where we're, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we are doing the best we can. This is like, you know, we go over there, for example, we help, you know, try to establish a working military over there to protect themselves, and they turn into the terrorists. You know, it's like you're trying to work with these people, and it seems as if we get the blame when they decide to do things wrong, and then it creates more disorder. It's like, you know, nobody gave us a manual on how to do this.
My question is, if we are in agreement that we go over these other parts of the world, and I'll call it nation building or globalism or whatever you want to call it, colonialism attempts, if we're going to go in these other places in the world and do these things, and they're very unappreciative, so to speak, then why the hell do we want to stay over there? We have a debt, an American debt, that's over $16 trillion. So my big question is, where do you draw the limit on how much money do we borrow from China to give to Israel?
Well, you know, far as with the debt, I mean, we've been in debt. I mean,
how much do we keep borrowing from China in order to give to Israel? Why don't we just let China decide if they want to give to Israel? Why do we have to be the middleman at the pawn shop?
That's something you had to ask them. That's something you had to ask the policymakers and the people that deal with that. My point is that, you have a people, and it, we make it as if also, as if when we came over, when we went into Iraq in 2000, in the early 2000s, 2003, they were the ones cheering. They were cheering. You know, they wanted this. They wanted us to come in and take this man out of power.
Well,
so
that depends.
Sounds like,
but that depends on your media source, though.
It's like cooperation. You know, it's responsibility. If we want to take this man out of power, you have to run the country after that. It's like then when things go wrong, it's like you're gonna blame America for it. We did our job. Now it's time for you to do yours, man. You keep the country up.
The caller, here's
the
thing. We're going
to
go to Iraq.
Try to put establish elections there for you to elect a sufficient person to be in power. So it's like, you know, I mean, what more do you want them to do? I mean,
well, I want them to get the hell out of those countries is what I want them to do, caller. You just came to an agreement with me one way or another that we don't like the fact that we go over there, then they kind of flip us off, so to speak. Well, then screw them. I mean, how long do you want them to stay in these countries? It's like I ask people, and it sounds cynical when I say this, but can we come home from Germany yet? We've been in Germany since the 40s. Is it safe to leave Germany yet? Can we come home from Korea yet? We've been there since the 50s. How long do we have to stay in these places?
Well, another thing, too, I want to interject here, because when you look at Iraq and you're talking about how the people were cheering and wanting us to come over and rid them of Saddam Hussein, you know, that was right in the beginning. I fully agree with that. You know, but the interesting thing was, and the problems that I had with that whole operation was that we were sold the need to go into Iraq on lies. The Bush administration and Colin Powell was complicit in that, lied to the American people to go into Iraq. As we now know, the evidence that they presented was falsified. As we now know, every bit of that was made up. So we went into Iraq under false pretenses. That makes us a nation builder. That seems to be a problem for me. And then the second thing that I've got a problem with is once we got into Iraq, the people wanted us gone because they realized that we weren't doing things the right way. We weren't doing what they had hoped we would do or expect us to do.
They don't know.
We had our own agenda.
The problem is they don't know what they want. They don't know. And,
They wanted us out because
it's similar to, far as with the, they lied and said it were weapons of mass destruction. But,
how many soldiers did we lose in Iraq?
With the American people, you got to understand, these are people in power. You know, they are elected to guide the country in a certain type of way. Everybody's not ready for certain things that they have to do. You know, if they were to come and tell you everything that they had to do, you know, you would disapprove of it. But this is how we establish. It's ugly, but this is some things we got to do. So
I disagree. We don't have to do it. If they don't want us in those countries, and they don't really know what they want us to do, then tell us to send us a message on Facebook and friend us on Facebook.
Well,
Hold on, guys.
I mean, the bottom line is, for me personally, and I think Dale's probably the same way. Well, the caller just dropped off. I guess he didn't want to be argued with. But realistically, I mean, the problem is we continue spending all this money on foreign aid. We are trying to police the world. Everybody wants to scream the United Nations is doing this. The United Nations is doing nothing. We are the United Nations. This is our way for globalization to police the world. We're the ones that create the conflicts by funding the radicals, and then we get angry and try to take them out. Saddam Hussein didn't rise to power on his own. He rose to power with our grace and goodness. Osama bin Laden at one time worked with the United States. Okay? Go all the way back to Fidel Castro. We're the ones that create these dictators, then we go take them out, and then we screw up when we try to follow up. Let's go to the phones. Andy, you're there. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Dale, how you doing, man? I've been listening to you guys, and it's like a roller coaster. But, you know, the bottom line in America is we don't become a bunch of weak-kneed, pussy-ass bastards.
We already are.
And, you know.
Hold it back, Andy. How do you really feel?
I'm just saying, you know, like you talking about the book, you know, all doing the political campaign, this last one, you know, we were talking about the whole specter of racism. I mean, come on, man. They got 5 or 10 things they put on the wheel of dumbass, and they just spin it.
Had this caller call. He said we've got to do these things around the world. He agreed with me that they don't want us in their country. He agreed with me that those other countries don't know what the hell they want, but we've got to stay there because we just got to.
Well, you know what? This is where I'm at with that. I don't, you know, if I catch somebody breaking into my house, I'm not going to whoop their ass and then take them to the hospital and make them well and then give them better tools to break in. Okay?
Right.
I mean, that's just, you know, there has to be, there's already an intellectual divorce around the world about America. America's the great Satan. We're the big bitch. Okay. You know what? Quit asking. You know, we need to quit forcing our help on people. And I'm also tired of these Eurocentric knuckleheads that live here. It reminds me of the Colonial War. If you want to be a Tory, carry your ass to Canada. Get out of here. You know what I mean? I don't see a whole lot to envy in Europe. I can get a croissant here, okay? I can get truffles here. I don't see any need for me to be envious of the French. The only people I see over there that's doing anything that I might want to do is the Germans and the Norwegians and the Swedes a little bit, but they just seem to know how to – they seem to be a little more humane among each other.
Well, you know, we talk about the shootings, we talk about the guns, we talk about all these other things to control. And you know, one of the biggest interesting stories with that coming out right now, and I want to switch gears just a little bit on you, Andy, because there's a great story coming out of Georgia right now. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but a mother was at home with her daughters, and somebody broke into her house with a crowbar. She ran to a closet with her daughters. Thank God she had a 38, okay? She's in a closet with her daughters, has a 38 loaded, cocked, and ready to go. And the criminal decides to go ahead and bust open the closet. She unloads all she's got in the gun, which is 6 shots, shoots the guy 6 times, including in the neck and head. The guy actually lives and crawls out of there. The police find him, you know, a little bit later, laying on the ground. So, you know, the mother should be considered a hero for killing this intruder. And I agree with that. Or not killing this intruder, but protecting her daughters. And I agree with that. But let's call a spade here, too. When we get into this whole gun control argument, we get into to what's going on around the world and the guns we're supplying and everything else. What happens if there were two intruders and this woman unloaded her gun on one of them?
Yeah, but you know what, though? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. With the gun lobby has to keep the female contingent on their side. They're not going to come at this woman the way they would a guy.
Mm.
I can almost bet you $1 to $1.
You know they're not. You know they're not. But the point is, they're trying to get these. They're trying to limit these clips. Dianne Feinstein, concealed carry permit holder, Dianne Feinstein, is trying to limit these clips and everything else to 10 rounds or less, et cetera. You know, if this woman would have had my 9mm Smith & Wesson, you know, I've got 4 clips ready to go at all times. One is in the daggone gun with 1 round in the chamber, and I can squeeze off 17 rounds pretty damn fast.
Well,
it takes
Ed,
me less than 1 second to swap the clip.
Not just that, Ed, but if you're a celebrity or you're one of these big politicians, you don't have to carry guns because all your bodyguards do it. Piers Morgan's bodyguards do it. And Ed, if we had a visit from the president or any president, what would happen if Ed Springsteen decided he was going to rush the president? You're dead.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But that's the whole point.
Because he has protection and you don't.
But that's the whole point, because nobody understands the Second Amendment was never designed to protect the hunters and the fishermen.
No.
Those guys had to hunt and fish to survive.
Yep.
The Second Amendment wasn't out there to protect the hunters, but if you didn't hunt, you didn't eat. If you didn't eat, you starved to death. It was a way of life for them. The Second Amendment says, you know, to protect us from a tyrannical government, and that's why the government wants the guns, because if you're faced with any – go ahead.
No, I was just saying – well, I said it the last time I was talking to you guys. What we have done is we are literally witnessing a class of Caesars. They're not even trying to hide their intent now.
Yep.
Okay?
Nope. You're right.
And you know, we were talking today, and like I said, this woman that you just talked about, let's see, where's those shrieking shrills of females that go, guns are murder, because really what they're trying, this is the association I see, how they connect the dots. Men and guns equal violence. Not women. Men and guns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And see, they're making this a gender thing as well. And see, now, this woman, from what you're saying, this is a classic case of I'm defending my young. This is what, you know, this is what animals do in the wild all day long when they're backed in a corner, is defend their young. Now, are they gonna put her on their shoulders? Are they gonna walk her around town and hold her up as a shining example of motherhood? I doubt it.
You know what's interesting to me when you talk about motherhood, though, because if this was the '50s and sixties, this woman would have never felt empowered enough or emboldened enough to have a gun in the first place, much less know how to shoot it and pull the trigger against an intruder. So when you talk about,
I think Ed's right because of a different reason. I think Ed's right that she wouldn't have had to be in that situation because we were talking about in the 50s or 60s, we wouldn't have had the mother who had 8 or 9 different baby's daddies, and we wouldn't have had where they get married and get divorced in a split second, and there would have been a man in that household to defend her.
Well, that's a good point, too. But at the same token, one of the other things I'm getting at, though, here is how empowered have women become over the last 30 years, for example, 40 years, if you will. You know, this should be, for me, when you talk about the women in this equation and how she won't come under the same scope as a man and everything else, but, you know, when you talk about the women in this equation, for me personally, I would think that most women in this country should look at this as saying, wow, That's an empowering thing. She was able to take care of her kids and save her life and her children's lives because she was a strong woman who knew how to use a gun. And you would think that most women would see this as a catalyst to realize that they have the same obligation, responsibility, and opportunity that any man does to protect their family.
Well,
they would naturally be in favor of something like this. You know what I mean?
Right, and the women they interview, when you get these women that are interviewed in mainstream press, you get these mealy-mouthed little wussy women who want to get rid of their guns, guess what? I guarantee to you that those are women who have not been raped or attempted rape. Alex Jones tried to bring up a point with Penis Morgan on the show the other night, and he couldn't get Penis Morgan to pay attention to it. And what he brought up was the fact of the Indian rapes.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson Cooper, their favorite little flaming queer over there on CNN, had just got done with the show. Huh?
Go ahead. Be careful. Go ahead.
Anderson Cooper, their favorite little flamer over there on CNN, had just done a show about Indian women and that gang rape outcry. Everybody's heard a little bit of the story about the women over there. And guess what the women are doing in India now? They're rushing to do something they've never done before, and that's applying for gun licenses to defend themselves.
Oh, exactly, exactly. And that's the thing. And folks, we are into overdrive right now. We're going to stay here for a couple more minutes. Exactly, and that's the whole thing, because what the mainstream media isn't reporting is when you start looking at the applications for guns, the applications for concealed carry and things like that, what they're not seeing is the rapid increase and the major increase in the amount of women who are the ones putting these applications in. It's not just Indian women. Women all across this country are now seeking concealed carry permits. Yep. And maybe that's what scares the government, man, giving a woman a gun who has PMS every month. I don't know.
But we've got
to look at this, though, because this isn't a man issue.
Nope.
This isn't an Ed Springsteen issue or a Dale the Truth issue. This is a Second Amendment Bill of Rights obligation that this country has to allow us the opportunity to have liberty and freedom. And that freedom and liberty means that we have the right to carry this gun. For this woman who only had 6 bullets in that .38, I'm actually feeling kind of sorry for her. Because if the new laws go into effect, that's all she's going to have. Because as she probably just found out, it's time to upgrade your weapon to a semi-automatic handgun that's going to carry more than 10 bullets. Because if there was a second intruder there, her and her kids would most likely be dead. So we've got to really look at this. And I tell you, if you don't think that there's a concerted effort going on to take the guns over something that is minuscule, because most of these murders and stuff aren't your Columbines, they aren't your Sandy Hook, they aren't Aurora, they're drug and gang related. Most of these things are done by criminals. Well, all of them are done by criminals, you know, but they're all done in a different way. If you don't think that there's a concerted effort to take your guns, folks, think again. There's a story out today about Walmart has now sent representatives to the White House to talk gun control. Walmart initially declined to have a representative attend this White House meeting on gun control. They were supposed to meet with Joe Biden and everything else. They didn't care. Now they say that, here's their words, they underestimated the Obama administration's expectations about Walmart's involvement in gun control talks. What's the translation for that, Dale?
Go ahead.
It's an easy translation. They underestimated the Obama administration's expectations about Walmart's involvement in gun control talks. That means Obama said, you're going to get your ass here, you're going to give us what you want, or we're going to take away your government subsidies and force you to do the right thing by American workers.
Yep.
They were blackmailed into it. That's the only thing I can come up with. You think that's not bad enough? Joe Biden, sitting in a gun group meeting over this stuff. Sits there and says, I want to make it clear that we're not going to get caught up in the notion that unless we can do everything, we're going to do nothing. It's critically important that we act. And then he goes on to say, the president is going to act. The White House has determined that executive action can be taken, and we're working on the specifics of that because it hasn't been settled yet.
Mm.
He clearly told us that the president is going to take our guns, even if he has to take them by executive order and bypass the Congress to do so.
Yep.
What does that tell us, Dale?
Well, we're in trouble, and that's a topic we'll continue about tomorrow night, because if somebody is willing to use an executive order to wipe out the Second Amendment, which is supposed to limit government power, then that's an act of tyranny. That's as blatant, as deliberate as anyone could imagine. So if he's going to act as Vice President Biden says,
then the only question is, what are the American people going to do to counteract?
It's not the American people. It's the Congress. The American people are sheep. They're going to let
Congress
the Congress
doesn't do a damn thing about
exactly.
executive orders, though. They never do.
Exactly. And the whole point, the whole thing I'm getting at now is, you know, I personally believe there is more than one reason to impeach Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. I think he has multiple offenses that are impeachable. Fast and Furious is one other example.
Yep.
But when you look at this in play, when the president feels like he can use executive order to wipe out the Second Amendment, part of our Bill of Rights, our constitutional heritage, if he feels like he can use executive order to tell us that the Constitution no longer matters, then every congressman, Republican or Democrat alike, should be alarmed because they don't have any power whatsoever. If they can't impeach the president, if he goes down that road and they do not impeach this president, you can forget America. America is done. That's what I firmly believe. And I'm right or
well,
wrong?
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. It's just a timing issue. You have a president, unless we get something like this idiot up in New York State legislature who wants to get rid of the 22nd Amendment, but barring anything just really out of the blue, we have a president who's going to be in office until the end of 2016. You figure, hell, he's not even had his re-inauguration yet, so he's going to be in there until January of 2017. We're not going to change anything in Congress in 2014 and then 16 when he's on the way out, and you're not going to get enough people in the Senate to come anywhere near a prosecution that's going to get rid of him. You might get him impeached in the House, but it's going to go the same way of Bill Clinton, and the Senate's not going to go anywhere near prosecuting.
You're absolutely right, and that's the problem, because that's where we fail as a people, because we don't hold our congressional leaders responsible. We elect them, and we give them the power and the authority to act on our behalf, but they're so damn worried about their next election. They're so damn worried about getting their free trips to Hawaii or whatever. They're so damn worried about their free meals or their free parties so they can feel like they're royalty, that they screw the same people who entrusted them to take care of them. And that's the insult to the American people. And that, it truly is why we are, in some degree or another, insane in this country. Dale, we got to wrap, man. Final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts. We should all be outraged. And if America's founding fathers were alive today, I cannot imagine what they would have to say, because they'd be well beyond saying. And people like Piers Morgan, who betray human freedom, they want us all to have a polite, proper debate, as he calls it, while he's disarming you. It's a soft kill. He wants to kill off your family and your neighbors while monopolizing guns and ammunition in the hands of a government that has already proven itself to be outrageously tyrannical and oppressive in countless ways. That's the trap, the demand of civility in a time when we're being utterly destroyed by what can only be called acts of treason. He wants to kill off everybody and send death to all of you all, and you need to stand up and tell him death to your new world order.
Hey, that's exactly it. And for the life of me, I can't understand how somebody like Piers Morgan, a non-U.S. citizen, can actually get any kind of major play to tell Americans how to live. That just goes beyond the scale for me. Piers Morgan left his own country in disgrace. In disgrace. Because he was working and doing illegal things on behalf of Rupert Murdoch and the Daily Mail and the other things that he was in charge of. Phone hacking, wiretapping, you name it. You wonder why this guy likes America and the liberalism right now in America? Because everything that he loves to do, illegal wiretaps, everything, we do. We call it the NDAA. This is a non-U.S. citizen. For CNN, you need to wise up and open up. Because Alex Jones, Jesse Ventura, and that's why you don't have a live audience too many times now, because they all disagree with this guy. You wonder why your ratings are down? It's because you're glorifying what I consider to be a criminal in Piers Morgan. You're glorifying what I consider to be a criminal in a president who wants to circumvent the Constitution of the United States. We have got to preserve and protect our Constitution. That's it. If we can't do that simple, basic thing, then we no longer have an America. You can leave the country, move anywhere you want, insert name here. Because that's what you have set up, American. That's what you have allowed to be acceptable. People will only give you what you're willing to accept. That is from every person in this world that you know, don't know, or think you know. If someone confronts you and they're very confrontational and you don't confront them back and stand up for yourself, then you've told them that that is acceptable behavior. And they're going to continue pushing as far as they can. How much further are you going to allow them to push us, America? That's it for me. Dale, anything for tomorrow night?
Well, we're going to stay on the hot topic of gun control, and we'll get a little bit more into this government control issue. It's something we've been preaching a long time. It's getting into a scary situation now. It's getting into some pretty turmoil and tricky waters here. So we'll talk more about the gun control and what the government wants to do to you, and we'll continue that tomorrow night.
Okay, folks, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock right here, Dale the Truth with the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. Always informative, always good listening. Check it out. Sunday night at 7 with Ken Molman, our libertarian friend with Liberty Unbridled. And I'll see you guys back here on Monday night. In the meantime, have a great week, folks. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
Everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government. The government can.
The government can.
And who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, 'cause they mix it up with lies and make it all day. Fathers roll over in their grave. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, 'cause they mix it up well as they make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make. They're power hungry and malicious. Their economics are fictitious. Soon we'll have to eat our
government.